Here we go.
Blog Talk Radio.
All right, let's go here.
No, I can't forget to see you.
That's not here it is. Sorry.
Let me tell you about my best friend. He's a warm-hearted person. He loves me till the end.
Okay. Good afternoon, good evening, and hello to all of you folks who are confused to wonder, did I turn it to the right station? Yes, you did. I'm talking about a best friend. Obviously, we're on the show hosted by Dr. Clark, When Numb Is Not Enough, sponsored by Grassroots Talks and Flashback Academy. And I hope you at least have one friend. But if you don't, we got an answer for you. But first, let's say hello and pay our greetings to Dr. Clark, who has bailed us out on more than one occasion. Hello, Dr. Clark.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be joining us from. Again, and indeed, honor and privilege to be here with you today to continue the conversation in one form or another. I've been numb, it's not enough, dealing with issues of grief and loss in whatever fashion it may show up.
Dr. Clark, we have an interesting number of folks who responded to us. In my attempts to master this social media stuff, which I'm not doing that great, but I'm giving it my best shot, I wound it up with a group of individuals who have animals, and they all seem to have something in common, so they wrote me a couple of questions for you. And while they obviously don't seem to be calling in, I'm not going to be surprised that they are listening in. So, are you ready?
Let's go for it.
Patty says her dog could feel when my grandmother was dying. Do you think that's the truth?
I absolutely do think that's the truth. Dogs and animals can sense things just like we can. For example, when my son's dog got really ill, the neighbor had her sister, and when we got ready to take my son's dog to the vet, because we had to surrender her because she was so ill, the neighbor's dog could sense that, and they say that dogs can sense death. And she got in the back seat of the car and just laid there with my son's dog. And when I tell you it was a water flow of tears, because we could not get her out of the car because she could feel that something was going on with her sibling. And so dogs carry emotions. Animals carry emotions and feelings just like we do. My mom had a dog that would get her up for school every day. And if she did not get up for school, that dog would go and knock on my grandmother's door to say, hey, she's not getting up. So dogs are very smart, and they're very intuitive, and they feel, and they have emotion, just like we do.
Wow. You know, I was a little concerned about this one, but you're right. I think in our briefing, you also mentioned something, equestrian therapy.
Absolutely. So, equestrian therapy is a modality of therapy used by for many reasons. It's usually used in treatment of children and adolescents who are having like extreme anxiety issues, extreme behavior problems. I'm teaching them a sense of responsibility of belonging and things like that, but They also use it for certain types of disabilities. For example, my cousin has cerebral palsy and he doesn't walk, and that's one of the therapies that's been suggested for him, and has to do with nature and being out and being connected to something and having that emotional tie that can then motivate and to help them with movement and things like that. And so they do often use some, not often, because it's very expensive. Most of your insurances don't pay for it. So it is more likely an out-of-pocket thing. But they do use it sometimes with extreme depression and anxiety for children. They usually will send them to these ranches where that's the modality that they use to, you know, to minimize their depression and anxiety and give them a sense of belonging and sense of responsibility and corrective behaviors and things like that.
Hmm. Okay. Let me go to the next one. Toby says, my dog had a pet bull neighbor. One day the pet bull was taken away, and my dog shut down immediately. Couldn't figure out what was wrong with him. When the pet bull returned, though, my dog livened up. The question that I have is, do dogs grieve?
Absolutely. Same difference. It's the same thing. Remember, we humans and animals are more alike than we are different. And so why do you think that most of our experiments and things are done on animals before they're done on humans? Because we respond to things in a very similar way. Yeah, we respond to things in a very similar way. So animals absolutely grieve. You will have animals that get depressed, and it looks very much like it does in humans. They get withdrawn. They don't eat. They may sleep a lot. They may be non-responsive to you. And yes, believe it or not, animals are given medications for depression just like humans are given medications.
Get out of here.
And
no
anxiety,
way.
When you have dogs that are just extra excited and full of anxiety, yes, there's medications for that. Why do you think they have medications for pets during 4th of July? Because the sounds and things of the fireworks put them in a hyper state of arousal, these manic states, and so there's medication for that to keep them calm during that time. Same
wow.
Thank you.
Well, then let me go to
we are
my
more alike. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Can dogs become addicts?
Good question.
To the point that, that they can become addicted, and the behavioral change in the dog could be very extreme should they be cut off of a particular medication that was designed to address the high anxiety or the depressions. I'm just curious.
Go ahead.
No, because any person who obviously has a lot of passion for their animal, they're trying to help them get through something, but very easily, because the dog can show signs, but the visible signs of addictions, as you know, come late in the process of becoming an addict. It doesn't show right away in people, but I'm just curious, what are the side effects of taking long-term depression medication for animals who can't say, well, you know, it's working on me now. Can we up the dose? Or, you know, I don't know. I'm just fishing.
Well, I would imagine that, yes, our animals could become addicted, but who's responsible for that addiction? They can't become addicted if the owner does not continue to give them the medications for them to become addicted to. So just like with humans, the medications are not designed to be a magic pill. They're designed to work in collaboration or in tandem with something else. And so there are treatments, believe it or not, there are people out there that do pet therapy and that are call themselves, you know, dog whisperers and animal coaches, whereby they work with animals when they are in such states. And so it's never to be, medication with anyone is never to be given in and of itself with nothing else to go with it. Because the goal is always to develop a means of coping so that you're not relying on the medication. With our animals, with our babies, they can only get addicted if the owner keeps giving them the medication. So the addiction would not be, is my animal addicted, but am I, as the owner, addicted to giving my pet this medication?
Whew, okay. Dr. Clark, this one might go a little bit too deep, so let me do my disclaimer first. It's not intended to put anybody on the spot, but the question here, and I want to know too, yeah, I'm drum rolling here, building up the energy and the courage here. how do we do this one? Here we go. Do dogs go to heaven?
That's a matter of perspective, right? Is there animal heaven? Or is heaven just designed for everyone and everybody and all creatures, since all things were made and created by him? I guess
Amen.
They too need a place to go, right? When they don't just stay in our backyards, buried under our rose bushes and our gardens
right.
back there, right? But I would imagine if that's where you feel your pet is in your heart, then that's where they go. If you feel there is another destination that they go to, then that's where they go. It's all a matter of perspective and what your individual belief system tells you.
Makes sense. So let me stretch this just a little bit before we move on. The question was, dogs go to heaven. Your response initially was about a dog heaven. That insinuated two different places. But I'm thinking about that person who loves their dog so much that when they go to heaven, they hope that the dog's going to be hanging out there with them again in the afterlife. And then we're going to leave this topic alone. But I'm going to leave that one on there if you choose to address it. If not, you folks out there, please write us and give us some insight on what you believe will happen when it's the final curtain call. Not only do dogs go to heaven, but if they do go to heaven, will they go to the same heaven as you? Dr. Clark, you want to close that one out with any dialogue?
Well, again, I just made the reference to dog heaven or animal heaven to say, is there a different place where they go to? But then I also said that if God created all things, he created animals as well. And so is there just one universal heaven for every person, every living creature, every insect that there is? And that you all reunite again when you get to that one place. Will you see your animal again? Who knows? Still begs the question, will we see our loved ones again? Will we even recognize them? So if your animal is there, will you even recognize that that's your animal? And will your animal recognize you as being its owner? So it's just a matter of perspective. Heaven welcomes everyone and everything.
There was a play that I wrote some time ago. You might remember it. It was King of the Cardboard Condo.
Very well.
And there was a young man who really wanted to make it an animated series. Well, something happened and it didn't materialize, but I haven't let that go because for you folks who don't know, King of the Cardboard Condo was centered around homeless people and the way that we look at homeless people. However, what we did not know was that at night when we were sleeping, that the homeless people were our superheroes, looking out for us, making sure that we would not be subjected to some of the negative elements that are happening in our world. And I've seen some of this actually happen. So this encourages me to remind you to support Flashback and its efforts, because it's a lot more than just getting our veterans off of the street and our former foster care youth, both who are so deserving, because the kids didn't choose their destiny. The soldiers who committed to trying to preserve what this country was founded on suffered a lot and still do. And to help get them off the street, give them some new training or opportunities, I think it's just a humane thing to do. And for the dogs who were also helped a lot of our veterans out by putting their lives on the line, literally sacrificed their lives, I will recognize something here that I think may soften the blow of this interesting, stimulating, thought-provoking conversation. So I'm going to propose it to Dr. Clark. What do these three names that I'm going to tell you all have in common? Ready?
Yes.
Flipper. You remember Flipper?
Yes.
Okay. We're dating the age now, but you could have looked in a history book. Let's do it that way. Okay. Lassie.
Okay.
Ren 10-10.
Okay. Lassie and Ren 10-10 were both dogs. Correct. And Flipper was the dolphin.
Right. But what did they all have in common? And I kind of set this up with the story of Flashback, a little bit of hint there. And this is... Let me just go ahead.
Animals that provided a certain type of support and connectedness to their owners and to those around them. And much like the equestrian therapy gave them a sense of belonging, a sense of responsibility. It gave them something to look forward to. And if they were feeling down, then these animals were around to help lift their mood, so to speak.
Folks, you know, if this was a game show, Dr. Clark would be a grand prize winner. While no scripts were put in front of her, and for many years, I've always done this, and she has adapted, adjusted, never an attitude, sometimes a weird kind of look at me and says, I don't believe you're going here, and you didn't even prepare me, but how about this? There is no way that she was supposed to know, one, who these are, because every one of them were here before she even hit the dirt, okay? Ren 10-10 was a military dog in the 1950s. Lassie, early 1960s, okay? One of the most whining dogs that I've ever seen, but she was very dedicated and committed to her owner. And Flipper, I thought, was a treat, but I got to tell you, this is, probably don't sound too good. I was glad to learn that dolphins were one of the smartest species out there, because I used to really like fish, and I wanted to know what Flipper tastes like. Is that crazy or what? But I grew out of it. I've never eaten a dolphin, okay? But I really was moved by, wow, I bet you that's a good fish. Anyway, that's enough. Never mind. Congratulations, Dr. Clark, for knocking that one out the park. What did they all have in common? And in their own right, I guess they were also superheroes, just like the characters in King of the Cardboard Condo. Dr. Clark, if you can do anything better at preparing to wrap us up, folks, I don't know if you recall, but there was a loss in our church family, and we wanted to not only recognize her, but she's being laid to rest today. And I'm actually going to a funeral. Go figure that one out. So she must have really meant something, okay? So, Dr. Clark, if you can prepare to kind of wrap us out, I'll go ahead and play our song to take us out. And just thank you again for you being the best friend that our agency and me have ever had as it relates to providing unwavering support to those less fortunate. You wrote a little note to me yesterday or the other day, and all it said was making a difference. That resonated with me, and that's what I hope to be able to aspire to each and every day. Thank you. Take us home, Dr. Clark.
My honor. Sometimes I try to do it all on my own, and this has actually put me into a state of numbness, causing retreat from the world around me. I can turn to others for help when I need it. I can do this because it is a self-compassionate, deserving, and loving way to be. Until next time, give yourself permission and room to grieve. Have a great rest of your day, evening, or night. Bye-bye.
Wow.
Yeah.